This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
With the bases loaded and two outs, 3-2 again. Gonzalez strikes out swinging. Threw him that down and in cutter. And Wilson gets out of trouble. Pirates strand three. And they go down to the Reds tonight, 11-5.
With David being down, everybody's going to slide into different spots, and we have to cover, we have to cover innings. Those guys are going to have to, kind of step up into different roles. Everybody's going to have to kind of step up into different roles, and today we just had a ton of hard contact.
Ton of hard contact. Good morning, everybody. Pirates fall, and it's the danger zone. 2.5 games back in the wild card race. 8.5 games back in the division. This is my final show for the next 2 weeks. I have more paternity leave to use. I intend to use all of it. And I am concerned, Doran, that when I come back 2 weeks from now, the Pirates will be like 6 or 7 games back in the wild card race. All of a sudden, the Cardinals are hot, and real quick, the Pirates are not. Bailey Falter, no good yesterday. Nick Gonzalez, who struck out at the end, went 0-for-5. He's 1-for-his-last-24. Derek Shelton talked about the bullpen without David Bednar, which also did not bathe itself in glory yesterday. And I think the season right now, Mr. Dickerson, is teetering. Agree? Disagree? Questions? Comments? Concerns?
I agree. After that loss and the way that they lost last night, I just... Like, even if you do add something, I feel like, I mean, I know it's a total 180 for us. You know, yesterday we were riding high and like, hey, if you do this, if you add this, if you do that, you have a chance. You're still in the thick of things. I just don't see how they could get better. I really don't. Not one guy, not two guys, not three guys is going to do that. And this goes back to the beginning of the season for me. It really does, because you knew that Skeens was going to come up at some point. You didn't know what Jones was going to be. You knew what Mitch Keller was. You're hoping O'Neill Cruz was going to have a decent year. You brought McCutchen back. You paid Reynolds, obviously. Why didn't you make the necessary moves in the offseason? You did patchwork moves, and you thought that that was going to work. But any real team gets real players to go out there and provide the production that they need, and that's where it starts. And we're all clamoring to this trade deadline. Make a move, add a bat, add this, add that. They should have did this in the beginning of the year.
Yep.
Why do we wait until now? Like, anticipation is one of the biggest words and biggest things in sports, whether it's on the field or off the field. Now, you should anticipate that a guy like Skeens was going to bring what he's bringing to the table whenever he was going to be called up at some point. Anticipate being good. Instead of just being mediocre.
Yeah.
And if you anticipate being good, you do and make the right moves and add the right pieces. The pieces that they added are mediocre.
Yes.
Like,
if that. Maybe.
That's where I'm at. That's why it's frustrating for me, is because we are talking about all this stuff whenever it could have been alleviated in the beginning of the year if they would have just made the right decisions and spent some money to get legit players.
It doesn't even have to be, don't pay Aroldis Chapman, don't pay Rowdy Tellez, and instead get Rhys Hoskins. The afternoon guys talked about that yesterday. You don't even have to go that far. Just don't sign Rowdy Tellez and bring back Carlos Santana.
Exactly.
Carlos Santana wanted to be a Pirate. Carlos Santana was a Gold Glove finalist last year. When he was moved to Milwaukee, he said he would welcome a return to Pittsburgh in the offseason, and the guy's got double-digit home runs this year, and he's one of the better defensive first basemen in the entire sport.
Yep.
I put an S at the end of first baseman. I'm too jacked up about it. And Rowdy Tellez, he's having a good June. Not anymore. 0-for-4 last night. He stinks. Connor Joe is Connor Joe again. Key Brian Hayes is hitting 226. Edward Olivares is hitting 240. Jack Sawinski in the lineup, 172. Yasmani Grandal, 186. All of these guys stink. And you're right. The general manager has to eat it because he was given $35 million to spend, and he spent it poorly. I spilled coffee again!
Oh, my goodness.
Would that guy write in Barrett Sports Media yesterday, Crowley is passion personified? I'm also, I'm a wheeling dervish or whatever they, whirling dervish.
Dervish.
I knocked the damn coffee over. I'm all pissed off because, man, I think you're right. The more you watch this club, the more it crystallizes, at least in my head, do they need to add? Yes, and they should absolutely add no matter what's about to come out of my mouth here. They are not one or two players away.
No.
And you watched the game last night, and Brian Reynolds is on fire.
Yes.
On fire. Andrew McCutchen is a top 10 designated hitter in the sport. O'Neill Cruz has been pretty good. He'd been pretty good, and last night he was really good. Apart from those three, I have no hope anybody else is ever going to come through in a clutch situation. How can you? And so you can add a first baseman, you can add a center fielder, and now you've got five guys. And with this starting rotation, maybe it gives you more of a shot. But they cannot fix all of their problems, unfortunately, at the trade deadline. And that's why when you're building a roster, it's easier to get players in the offseason than it is at the deadline. Prices are higher now. There's more teams invested because you are looking at it right in the face. Where are we in the standings? It's going to be tough for them to make all the necessary improvements. And I was asked on the final word Sunday night, how close are the Pirates to a playoff spot? And I said they're pretty close because you look at the NL and there's not a lot of good teams. This is when you're going to start to see some separation. And I am afraid you've got five games left on this road trip, two against Cincinnati, one of which Martin Perez is going to start. And then you go to Atlanta. Man, you can find yourself in a bad way in a hurry, and it's the danger zone, and I'm worried.
Kind of reminiscent of what the Steelers have done the last 3 years. I mean, with Finkner and hiring in-house and, you know, even Butler at the time, Matt Canada, it's like, all right, we're going to make this work with the guys that we have here instead of going out and finding legitimacy. And, you know, with Triolo playing and starting the year at second, and I was really high on him, but, I mean, having a legit player there instead of being like, you know what, we think that this guy can play this position. Like, he played multiple positions before, but, you know, we think that we could stick him there, and then, okay, that solves our issue, so we don't have to get a second baseman. First base. Outfield.
Oy.
I mean,
oy.
It just...
They have one outfielder.
They have one outfielder.
They have Brian Reynolds.
Yes.
That's it. Connor Joe stinks. He's hitting 239, and stinks is probably too strong because he's a useful player.
You're relying on a 37-year-old player.
Is that
to
not
be one of your best players?
Yeah, that's a huge indictment.
Like,
massive indictment.
And it's not an indictment on Andrew McCutchen.
No.
He is fantastic, and we all know that. I don't even have to go down that road. But you're relying on him to be one of your best players.
Yes. And he has been. Since May 11th, thereabouts, when they inserted him as the leadoff hitter, he's been their second best hitter. And that's only because Brian Reynolds, for the last 21 days, has been playing like an MVP candidate. But if Brian Reynolds were doing what Brian Reynolds had done the first couple of months of this season, Andrew McCutchen would be their best player. So I say, and we say, you can't add one or two pieces and fix everything. One thing they absolutely need to do is they need to fire Andy Haynes. Because we're talking about a bunch of guys that are struggling, a bunch of guys that stink right now. Well, you can't get rid of them all. You can't replace them all at the deadline. So what can you do to maybe jolt this thing? That would be something that I would look into. When Bob Nutting spoke for the first time in season ever and said the goal 100% is to make the playoffs, and then in his next breath said the offense stinks, well, I think shots fired at Derek Shelton. I think shots fired at Andy Haynes. That would be my break glass in case of emergency thing. And I would do it right now. You're four games under. You're 2.5 back in the wild card. You're 8.5 back in the division. This thing could, right here, slip away. And I do think you've got to blame Andy Haynes for this. Some of this, at the very least. Because Edward Olivares is a guy that had pop in Kansas City. Michael A. Taylor is one of the worst position players in all of baseball right now. He hit 21 home runs last year. Rowdy Tellez is not that far away, removed from hitting 35 bombs. Key Brian Hayes, a couple of years ago, was a 300 hitter. Last year for 2 months was really good. Now he's hitting 226. Jack Sawinski hit 26 homers. Like, there are guys that have all had success before that are having less success now. And I don't know that it's all Andy Haynes' fault, but if everyone is struggling, you can't replace them all. I think he cut the head of the snake off.
Yeah, there's just it's just too much of a drastic regression.
Yeah.
And it's been like this. You know, they've masked over a little bit this year for like a month and a half, but it was like this at a huge point in the season, and now it's back again. And you're just wondering, okay, you look around, and we could blame the players, and you'd say that we don't have quality players here in Pittsburgh, but if everybody is doing it, to me, that points to one direction or two directions, and it's usually the position coach or the manager.
And the manager is an offensive guy.
Yes.
He's a hitting coach by trade. So he's not doing a good job. And from what I understand, he's actually pretty hands-off. Well, time to get hands-on. I don't blame him as much for the lineup construction. I know we talked about it yesterday, and we talked about it in that final game of the St. Louis series. But the reality, unfortunately, is you don't have a lot of players that are hitting well. And so, yeah, lineup construction matters, but if we're complaining about Connor Joe not being in the lineup, it's a bad roster.
Yes. Yes.
When we're talking about, you know, Andrew McCutchen not being able to, at 37 years old, take a day off, or they're not going to be able to hit, that's a roster construction issue, right? And if we're talking about Nick Gonzalez not being in the lineup, although he should have been, who was one for his last 19 going into the final game of the last series. If we're talking about, oh my God, you need him to be in the lineup. Again, one for 19 and now one for his last 24. You probably have roster construction issues. So they have many. The GM didn't do a good enough job this offseason. The hitting coach isn't doing a good enough job right now. And, well, Derek Shelton, a hitting coach by trade, obviously is not pushing the right buttons there. Callis, were you raising your hand? Did you have a point to add to this conversation?
I think I did, but now I forget.
Very good.
It's been a little while, yeah.
Not only do you have nothing to say, but you raise your hand and then you take a second and a half to get to the microphone.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So really good contribution by you.
Yes.
You can tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia at Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. You can text us, 412-928-9370. Brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you.
I remember what I was going to say.
Okay, good.
It's a real quick point. If they wouldn't have gone on that 7-game losing streak to start the year, I think we'd all have a different perspective on this team because they might have a wild card spot at this point.
Okay, but if they didn't go 9-2 to start the year, they'd be in a really bad spot right now. You can
it was
play
just it, a point.
You can play it both ways, and that's very Neil Huntington-esque. Neil Huntington, I remember one year, well, you know, if we reversed our division record, we'd be right there in the thick of it.
Yeah, no.
Can't do that. Cannot do that. Well, if we were better in one-score games, we'd be a better baseball team. Well, you're not. You are bad in one-score games, thus a bad baseball team. O'Neill Cruz put on a little bit of a show last night. Dan Zangrilli told us off the air O'Neill Cruz was going to have a good series.
He did.
Because he's going up against Ellie De La Cruz, who hit a ball. I don't have the exact numbers in front of me. I'm pretty sure it was 785 feet off the top of over the batter's eye in Cincinnati. So we got the side-by-side comparison of those two dudes. I want to talk about that a little bit when we come back. And plus, we'll react a little bit more to what Bob Nutting had to say on Friday. Who's got the most pressure on them right now in this organization?
Here's the pitch. Swinging a ball. Blasted out to right field. Long home run for O'Neill Cruz. He hit that one on a line to the back of the seats in right. Home run number 11. And there's two of them back. It's 11-5.
Our buddy Dan Zangrilli called that, man.
Yes, he sure did.
He really did.
Whenever he was leaving yesterday after his segment, he said, just watch O'Neill Cruz. He'll have a little twinkle in his eye. We're like, huh?
A little twinkle? Why? Well, he's got Ellie on the other side, and he wants to show he's the better Cruz. And he said he might not have the same level of engagement against Atlanta. I think that's emblematic of what O'Neill Cruz has been so far in his still young, budgeting Major League Baseball career is the inconsistency. And the fact that Dan called it does make me call into question his work ethic's not the right way to say it, but his focus.
Yeah, engagement.
His engagement is the best word for that. Yeah. Like, is he engaged, interested in every game, 162, or is he going out there and letting his God-given natural ability, his 6'7", 250 frame, get the job done for him? And when he's in it, that sliding play was really good. I thought he was going to throw it into the 33rd row. Nope, perfect strike, and he hits that bomb. They ultimately lose the game. I don't know if he's having a good season or not. 729 OPS, 11 homers. I mean, those aren't embarrassing numbers, not by a lot, not by a big stretch, especially compared to, you know, the rest of the Pirates. But Ellie De La Cruz has been better than him, not defensively. Ellie's got like 25 errors. He's on pace to have like 60 errors this year. It's incredible. But Ellie De La Cruz, he hit one real far last night. He's got 14 homers. He's got an 806 OPS. And he's also 3 years younger than O'Neill Cruz. I don't want to do the which De La or regular Cruz would you rather have? Which Dominican shortstop would you rather have? I don't want to do that. Has O'Neill Cruz been good enough, though, I guess, is the question.
I guess he's been good enough because of the injury. But whenever you have talent like that, you expect it to come through probably in a bigger way. But the engagement and the interesting worries me because, you know, how much do you, I mean, you don't really care. You know, you're just out there, you know, making a paycheck and saying like, oh, look at me. Like I can turn on, turn it off whenever I want to. And that has a lot to do with, you know, winning and losing and kind of knowing if you, you know, if your team is good or not. And usually athletes, and I mean, this baseball's a little bit different, but like, you know, some guys are out there for themselves. And they turn on, turn off when they want to. Some guys are out there for themselves and the team, and they know that they, if they play well, that the team will win, and then that will be, that will vault them to be a champion. I don't think that that matters to Cruz if he ever makes it to a playoff or wins a series or wins a World Series. I guarantee that probably doesn't even come through his mind. Like, he doesn't care about that.
He's enigmatic. I don't understand him because I do think that the injury is not an excuse. You play 9 games last year. It's a reason for why he may have had that slow start. Like, baseball is a rhythm sport. You're either seeing fastballs and curveballs, or you're rehabbing your leg and you're not seeing fastballs and curveballs. I think it explains a little bit of the slow start, and his OPS has been up over 800 since May 1st. But when you see what he did last night, it leaves you wanting more, to your point. And when he is engaged, as predicted by Zangrilli, he can be special. You are a 6'7" shortstop with power for days. And while the numbers are not embarrassing, especially in a league right now starved for offense, he's still the 8th best shortstop by OPS in the National League. And there's only 15 teams, so he's middle of the pack OPS-wise. As far as home runs are concerned, he is 6th, so a little bit better than middle of the pack home run-wise for shortstops. Okay, he needs to be one of the best. And if he's not one of the best by next season, I think any and all criticisms are going to be warranted. I don't want to crush the guy right now because, again, his OPS is up over 800 since May 1st in a league where like 700 is the average OPS right now. But when you are 6'7" and you can hit a ball the opposite way out, when you can hit a ball to dead center out, when you can pull a mistake pitch into the river, it can't just be about, oh, he throws it really hard. It can't be all about exit velocity. Those need to be predictors of future success, and he needs to more regularly barrel the ball and hit the thing over the fence. Like, I think that's fair to say. Like, they need him. You have 3 legitimate hitters in your lineup, and I would consider him to be one of them. He needed to be a 30-homer guy this year. Maybe he can still get there.
I mean, so if you're Shelton, you have that one-on-one conversation, or you're Charrington, or whoever is closest to him that is, you know, a manager or coach on the team, and you have the conversation, they're like, we need you, man. Like, we need you to be engaged all the time. We need you to, you know, try to play at your best all the time. How do you think he would respond to that? What do you think he would say back?
I don't know, because what I hear about him is he's just this real goofy guy.
He's young.
And he's young. And I'm saying that is like a good thing. Like, but you need to take it serious. Like, there needs to be a melding of Henry Davis, who takes it so seriously that he can't get out of his own head, and O'Neal Cruz, who everything seems to be a joke. You need to meld those two things.
And then you have Paul Skeens, who takes it very serious, who's younger.
Yeah. Oh, it can't be just an age thing. And no. Like, immaturity is immature. I have friends who are my age that are a lot less mature, weirdly, if you listen to the show, than I am. You know, I got two kids. I turn on Radio Guy, and I go home, I got to be a dad. You know, like, there's maturity, then there's not maturity. I don't think age is always a maturity thing. Or maturity is always an age thing. I guess I should say it that way. You're right. Like, Skeens, mature. Jared Jones, mature. I think Henry Davis is mature. He just needs to take some of the pressure off right. of him. O'Neal Cruz wants to be this lighthearted, fun guy in the clubhouse from everything that I understand, and that's all well and good. But Jared Jones was ticked off at him the other day because he wouldn't throw the ball back to him. Give me the bleeping ball, he said. O'Neal Cruz was in the outfield pantomiming catching the ball whenever the center fielder caught it 10 feet behind him in the Paul Skeens start the other day. If I'm Paul Skeens, I want to slap him upside the head because how many times have we seen balls drop in? How many times have we seen outfielders run into each other with the Pirates this year? Because you don't know who's calling off whom. So there is more there. You can be satisfied with the performance relative to the rest of the Pirates, and you can, like I have referenced, that he's had the above 800 OPS since May. But there's more there, and you need him to be engaged. And you're right, Derek Shelton, I don't know if he has. You need to talk to
him. It's his job to do that, to bring the most out of him, the best.
Almost every day he should be sitting down with him
yes.
and keeping him focused.
Yes.
I had not thought about the engagement level thing until Zangrilli was talking about it yesterday, but that makes a ton of sense. I had thought the ups and downs have to do with missing a lot of baseball games last year. And again, I don't think you can dismiss that out of hand. But when Zangrilli called the performance, that's pretty telling to me. Oh, he's going to go to Cincinnati. It's a team in the division where they've got the Ellie De La Cruz, and he wants to go show out that he's better than him. And then what's he do? He hits a home run, and he has that great play. There's something to that. So, yeah, I would say Derek Shelton, man, it's incumbent upon you. Like, if you're a head coach and you don't get the best out of a Trevor Lawrence, Urban Meyer, you get fired.
Right.
Like, the Los Angeles Chargers coach, you're gone.
Yes.
We'll bring in someone to replace you. You ain't getting the best out of the quarterback. You're not going to be here. This is the, for lack of a better way of saying it, this is the Pirates franchise quarterback, if it's not Skeens, but in terms of hitting.
Yes.
And while he's been pretty good, he can and should be elite. Elite. Give me at least Ellie De La Cruz numbers. And he's not running. He's not stealing bases. People said he could be a 30-30 guy. I'm not seeing that. I wonder if he's afraid to slide.
Maybe.
He's got six steals. He's played 168 games, more than a season. He's only got 19 steals. He legged out what would have been a double play yesterday. The speed is elite. It's top 5%, got to be, in Major League Baseball, maybe better than that. He's not stealing bases? Now, I wonder if some of that is the baseball IQ side of things, too. I don't know.
I don't know. I'm very familiar with this type of athlete because a lot of them think that they have arrived, especially whenever you have a lot of talent and people tell you you have a lot of talent and you're young. You think that you've arrived and you don't need to take things serious and you don't want to joke around. And it's like, okay, yeah, I'll be good. You know, I'm good enough. I'm good. Like I'm very familiar with these situations. Not saying that it's possibly I could be wrong here, but I'm just very, very in tune with what is going on with O'Neal Cruz after what Zangrilli said and after what I saw last night and after watching him in some starts this year. He turns it on when he wants to, and he doesn't whenever he doesn't feel like he has to because he thinks he's arrived because he thinks he could do that. No, that's not the case.
And I wonder, you know, Jack Sawinski kind of falls in that bucket a little bit too. I don't know if it's like an engagement thing or what, but
I think he's just struggling.
Yeah.
I think he's just struggling. I think his confidence is shot.
And once you lose your confidence, man,
it's hard to get back.
Yeah. And then when you look at O'Neal Cruz, there might be an overconfidence kind of deal or a cockiness. And I've heard he's a good guy, and he is important to that clubhouse. But good's not good enough when you were supposed to be the next one. And when we talk about this window of 5 years, we all want to focus on this starting pitching. He is as important, differently, but as important, there's no way around this, as Paul Skeens. Of course he is. Players don't look like that guy. A 6'7" shortstop with all that range, who throws the ball as hard as he does, who hits the ball as hard as he does, he's one of one. He's got Hall of Fame tools. Put it all together. He's like, he's a more talented Gregory Polanco.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I can't wait for 7 o'clock. Fan Morning Show Twitter poll brought to you by PJ Fitzpatrick Home Improvement. Trust PJ.com. Connor McDavid, despite being the captain of the losing team, won the Conn Smythe Trophy. Should he have? @_AdamCrowell, you can vote on that. The Fan Morning Show Twitter poll brought to you by PJ Fitzpatrick Home Improvement. Trust PJ.com. We'll revisit Bob Nutting's comments one more time coming up next. Did he put the pressure on Derek Shelton? Did he pass the buck? We'll talk about it. One more thing here on O'Neal Cruz. He's on pace for 23 homers and 189 strikeouts. I'd like more than 23 homers for my guy.
Yeah, a little bit.
A little bit. Especially when you think about the rest of this lineup. And Andrew McCutchen's carrying his weight. Brian Reynolds is carrying his weight. And again, Cruz has not been bad, but 23 homers, to me, is just not good enough for him. It's just not. Now, the offense overall hasn't been good enough. Bob Nutting asked about, well, the goal for the end of this season.
Goal and confidence level making the playoffs. Like, is that the goal of this season? Did
you 100%. We've shown it's attainable. I think you look at the results we've had from the mound. The pitching has been solid. Yeah. I mean, we have some very strong pitchers, but performing well. Obviously, we need more offense. We're a bottom-performing team in offensive production, and that's, you all know that as much as I do. We're fully aware of that. We know the areas that need to improve. Some of that has to come from organic improvement from our players now. Has to. And you've seen a couple of bounce backs. We know that is true. And how much of it comes from within the organization and outside the organization, I think, is exactly what Ben's working on.
He was not asked about hitting. And he had all the talking points on the hitting.
Mm-hmm.
So my guess is that Andy Haynes will be, if they don't make the playoffs, at least, I think he'll be the sacrificial lamb. And I don't even know that I want to call him that or the scapegoat, because I do think he probably would deserve to be fired. In fact, he does. He deserved to be fired right now. They're not hitting at all.
Last year.
I mean, he's just been bad. They've been bad. They don't hit the ball. And guys who were okay elsewhere come here and are worse. And guys here who you need to develop haven't really been developing. So I don't even know that he's a scapegoat. I don't know if he's a sacrificial lamb. He probably just deserves to go. But how about Derek Shelton and Ben Cherington? Because these signings that Ben Cherington made have not worked out. And Derek Shelton's got a team right now that's 4 games under .500. When the owner now says the goal is 100% to make the playoffs, I think Bob Nutting put a lot of pressure on those two guys. And an educated guess from things we've heard is that Shelton probably has one more year after this year on his contract. They don't like to pay multiple managers. But I do wonder if they don't make the playoffs, if some heads would roll. That to me was a lot of pressure from the owner publicly on a couple of guys.
How do you feel? Who has more pressure, Shelton or Cherington?
I think it's Shelton, based on something Zangrilli said yesterday. He said one thing he knows Bob Nutting hates is when there are players who underperform. Like, he cuts the checks, in a lot of people's minds, not big enough checks, but players who have had success elsewhere that come in here and don't perform well, it ticks him off. When players leave here and perform mm-hmm. better, mm-hmm. it ticks him off. So Ben Cherington brought in guys who, they all haven't worked out. Like, basically across the board have not worked out, with the exception really of Aroldis Chapman. Have not worked out. That's got to fall on the manager then, right? If guys who have track records come in here and perform woefully below their career averages, yes, that's got to be on the manager.
For sure.
So I would guess him.
I'm kind of with you.
I can't believe that he kind of went Steinbrenner, that he kind of went Jerry Jones. And Pompeiani was arguing yesterday that maybe he didn't want to talk. It was just the sheets thing. I don't know, man. Like, you can
get. He was ready.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, he gets prepped for these things.
Oh, yeah.
This is when you have a PR team. They give you all the questions that could possibly be asked, and he was ready. And some of the questions he brought up on his own.
Just like
organic.
That one right there. Just like that one right yeah. there. What is your goal? 100% the goal is to make the playoffs. ... The hitting sucks, right. Basically. He didn't have to go down that path. He also didn't have to say the goal 100% is to make the playoffs. We're showing improvement. We're excited about the trajectory of the team. Yada, yada, yada. How many times have general managers done that? How many times have owners done that? Omar Khan, Kevin Colbert, Kyle Dubas does a little bit of that. Ron Hextall did a lot of that. Now, Jim Rutherford didn't. He would just give it to you straight. But all these other guys, Neil Huntington, my God, they talk around everything. Bob Nunning's a really smart guy. That's how you have bajillions of dollars. You're a very smart man. He didn't bring anything up there he did not want to bring up. And thus, if they don't make the playoffs, you know, I don't know that it's definitely going to be Derek Shelton's head that rolls, but I can't rule it out now at this point. And I think Andy Haynes, if they don't make the playoffs, is gone.
Yes.
No questions asked.
Yes.
Oscar Marin, probably safe. The pitching staff's mostly been really, really good this year, particularly the starters. And Ben Cherington, I think, based on what Zangrilli said, Nutting probably views Cherington as, okay, he had a certain budget. He got guys with track record. They have underperformed. He probably doesn't put that as much on Ben, I guess. Like, who has developed? Brian Reynolds is fine. Been very good of late. Andrew McCutchen, you ain't coaching him.
Right.
Go out there and be Andrew McCutchen. But keep Brian Hayes has gotten worse.
Worse. Swinty, worse.
I don't know how you don't put it on the manager more than even the GM. Like, we talked about things he could have done. Like, he could have had Carlos Santana in here, but Carlos Santana at the plate, having a better year hitting the baseball in Minnesota than he had here in Pittsburgh. Wonder why that might be. Like, I'd still rather have him because he's a better glove, and I still think he'd be a better bat than big fat guy.
So was.
Thank you. Sorry about that, Rowdy. I forgot your name for a second there, so I used the only description I had. He'd be better than that guy. I don't know that he'd be having as good of a year, and I think that kind of crystallizes the whole thing here.
Yes.
Where Derek Shelton and Andy Haynes, they're not doing a good job with any of these hitters. I can't get around Michael A. Taylor had 21 homers last year, and now he might be the worst offensive outfielder in the damn sport. And if he's not, it's because Jack Sawinski and his own team is worse than him. Your thoughts on all this at 412-928-9370 on the Fan Hotline, presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Connor McDavid wins the Conn Smythe despite the Oilers not winning the Stanley Cup. We'll get to that.
Here's Reinhardt on the counter. Sam Reinhardt scores!
Game-winning goal, Stanley Cup Finals, Sam Reinhardt. Connor McDavid held pointless in the second consecutive game, but he wins the Conn Smythe, had 42 points in 27 games. We'll talk more about that coming up in 10 minutes. The 50-minute mark on the Fan brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. I asked you this question before the show, Doran. Would you rather your team just lose in a sweep or be up 3-0, blow it, or excuse me, be down 3-0, come all the way back, and then not win game 7?
Definitely be down 3-0 and then come back and lose game 7.
Really?
Because it gives you life. It's like, oh my gosh, we have a chance. Oh my gosh, we really have a chance. Oh my goodness, we're actually here. We're neck and neck. And then to lose, you know, 2-1, I guess that it is tough, but you were just so close, and you just can't but help but respect the players that fought and gave you a show longer than you anticipated at the time where you thought the game was going to be over after one more game when they were up 3-0.
I have to respect the players. I'll agree with that. I mean,
and you get
time.
More hockey. Like, I mean, you know,
you do.
If you're a real hockey fan,
until
you get
basically
more hockey.
July.
Right.
The weird thing about all that is, now, I think hockey is as regional, really, a sport as you're going to find. Like, I don't know that fans of the Columbus Blue Jackets are great fans necessarily of the sport. I don't want to put anyone in a box, right. But you like the Blue Jackets. I love my Blue Jackets.
Or Florida.
Or, frankly, Florida. But I'm thinking, like, a team that's not in it. Like, when you hand out the trophy this far after the season, I think you're losing more and more fans the further go along, right?
No doubt.
Like, you don't have hockey on your brain if you're a Columbus Blue Jackets fan. It's just crazy to me that they hand out the Stanley Cup on June 24th. But that's beside the point. I get what you're saying. You want to see your team push. You want that feeling of hope. We got a shot. That belief. I think Oilers fans going into last night probably thought they were going to win the Stanley Cup.
No doubt.
Right?
Yes.
I think I would have rather had my team swept. Because in game three, you lose. And then it kind of sets in, we're not going to win the Stanley Cup. And then you sleep on it. And you sleep on it another day, and you get ready for game four, and you're like, I hope they win, but if they lose, I've kind of become resigned to my fate. But they battled all the way back, and then they lose, really in heartbreaking fashion by one goal. And my God, did they have their chances in the third period, and you teased me, basically.
Mm.
You were a tease.
Mm.
You took your top off slowly, and then you left.
Mm.
That's what happened here.
You don't want to see your team get swept. I mean, that's just terrible.
How about a gentleman sweep? How about you lose in four games? I would rather lose in five games rather than seven games. That sucked. If you're an Oilers fan, imagine. How about all those people that went? All those people that went to South Florida?
Well, they get to go to the beach.
That's true.
Hey, you just make it a vacation. I mean, like,
do you think sunscreen in Edmonton and Alberta, whatever Alberta, thank you, the province? Do you think they're selling more sunscreen now than they ever have before?
Yes.
10,000 people flying back from South Florida, they had to have gotten burned. I get what you're saying.
I mean, it just gives you life, and it's like, wow, we actually have a chance. And whenever you don't have a chance, and then it's just demoralizing. You just absolutely get dominated. And then you got to think about next season, too. So, like, knowing that they fought back in Stanley Cup final, it's like, okay, like, we add a little bit. Hey, you know, we go here, you know, we do this. We'll be right back again, and we'll have another chance. We have the best player in the world.
They do have that, and there is no doubt about that. I will say, on that Reinhart goal that we played coming in, buddy, Skinner, make a save.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God, make a save. Goes right through the armpit. You got to have that one. Screen, I don't care. You got to make that save. No one's talking about that. Everyone's talking about Florida. Everyone's talking about McDavid. You got to make that save. You have to. Oh, my God, in that moment. Jeez. All right. So, Connor McDavid wins the Conn Smythe Trophy for playoff MVP, but he goes pointless in the final two games of the Stanley Cup Final. Should he have won the Conn Smythe Trophy? Give us a ring. 412-928-9370. Best caller on that subject wins two tickets to see Brett Michaels with Chris Jansen at the Pavilion at Star Lake on Saturday, July 13th. 412-928-9370. First, though, fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevy. 24 Silverado LT Crew Cab up to $7,500 in rebates. Full terms and qualifications, sunchevy.com.